When you or those around you think of Jesus, what comes to mind? Because of his enormous effect on human history, in most countries of the world, the name of Christ is known, though most often not worshipped. Because of his enormous claim to be God's only begotten Son, no one can remain neutral on him either. When you think about the mission of Christ, how do you think of him? Many people think of Christ as a great philosopher or a wise teacher. They think of him as a man who came to show us how to love others. He came to make us all nice and kind. Some people might think of Jesus as one of many who claim to be the Jewish Messiah. They think of his mission, full of signs and wonders, as spectacular, but ultimately failed, for the fullness of God's kingdom is not yet seen. When Jesus speaks about the mission of his earthly ministry in the Gospels, though, it's a bit different from these assumptions. Jesus is more than a wise teacher, and he won't bring the fullness of God's kingdom until he returns in the future. When Jesus came to serve the first time, a huge part of his ministry was this: gospel preaching. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus teaches from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. He teaches on the specific commands that Jesus made in his gospel preaching. With his authority as God's preacher to mankind, what did Jesus demand from the world? Out of all the various ideas and opinions that people nowadays claim Jesus taught, what did Jesus' preaching actually contain? These are a couple of questions that the Gospel of Mark will answer in part for us in this message. Let's open our Bibles and ready our hearts as we together delight in the Word.
We are continuing this morning in the Gospel of Mark, so I invite you to open your Bibles again to chapter 1 as we continue working our way verse by verse through this Gospel. This is an energetic gospel that moves along quite quickly. It's an abbreviated gospel in the sense that Mark doesn't give us quite as much information as the other gospel writers, but that's the beauty of God's word. It's the beauty of having four gospels that complement one another. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." I want you to imagine for a moment what it must have been like to listen to Jesus preach, to hear him announce the good news of the gospel, to listen to him preach about himself as the fulfillment of God's promise of healing. Clearly, it must have been an awesome experience. When Jesus opened his mouth and preached the word of God, oh, the awe that must have risen in people's hearts. As the Son of God opened his mouth to unfold the meaning of Scripture, what a beautiful balance of grace and truth fell from his lips. What authority resonated behind every word, and yet what gentleness and love for broken and bruised sinners was felt in his voice. When Jesus preached, it was impossible for his listeners to remain neutral. It was impossible for their hearts to remain unstirred. His message was forever life-changing. Those who believed his message found new hope and were compelled to follow. Those who did not receive his message walked away with less hope than they had had when they came. In the opening words of verse 14, Mark provides the historical timing. It was now after John was arrested. So between Jesus's baptism and the beginning of his public ministry, which was marked by preaching, John the Baptizer was put into prison. The Gospel of Mark gives a little bit more detail. He writes, "For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias," or because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, "because John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.'" Herod, the ruler, apparently had fallen in love or fallen in lust with his half-brother's wife, Herodias. As a result, both she and he decided that they must have married the wrong person, and so they both divorced their spouses and married each other. And John the Baptist rightly condemned their actions as evil, and he did so repeatedly, the text says, and publicly. So Herod threw him into prison. Jesus came into Galilee, it says, after John was arrested. This was in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. For Matthew helps us out again here. He says in his gospel, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, Jesus withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, went into the region of Galilee to fulfill Scripture and to bring the gospel not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Both unsaved Jews and unsaved Gentiles lived in darkness. The Jews believed that Gentiles lived in greater darkness than they did. In fact, they didn't even think they lived in darkness because they had the light of the promise. They had the Scriptures. They had the promise of God. And yet they too were in darkness because they did not believe in Jesus as Messiah. But now they will have opportunity as Jesus begins his preaching ministry. Mark says that Jesus said in verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus said, meaning that a new day is dawning, that God is now establishing his rule in the hearts and lives of his people, in the hearts and lives of those who will be saved by the work of the gospel. The kingdom of God develops in various stages and will one day be on earth. But right now, God is setting up his rule and reign in the hearts of those who are saved by the blood of Jesus. When a person comes to Jesus as Savior, he also comes to him as King, and Jesus now becomes the King of his or her life. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus said. Repent and believe the gospel. This gospel, Mark says, that Jesus preached is the gospel of God. That is, it is the good news of God's gospel. It is the hope that God has promised for ages and ages. This is the good news that God is bringing to the earth. And from Luke's account of the start of Jesus' preaching, we observe that the preaching of Jesus was word-driven. That is, It was saturated with scripture. The content of Jesus's preaching was the word of God. The basis of Jesus's preaching was scripture, not cute or clever stories. Yes, Jesus used illustrations in his preaching, and he was the master storyteller. But he used these to draw attention to God's truth, never to detract from it. Jesus' preaching was word-driven. Jesus' preaching also had the distinct purpose of preaching the gospel. He was sent to proclaim God's good news. It was while he was preaching in the synagogue that Jesus made it clear that he was sent to preach to four kinds of people. He was to preach good news to the poor, that is, those who are spiritually destitute, those who understand that before God their souls are bankrupt and need the riches of Christ. He was sent to proclaim freedom to captives, to those held in bondage by sin and the devil. He was not sent to release people from physical prisons, but sent to release people from spiritual prisons. He was sent to proclaim the recovery of sight to the blind. Not all the physically blind were healed by Jesus, only a select few. But he was sent to heal the spiritually blinded people like you and like me. We who are blinded by our own sin, we who are blinded by Satan, we who are blinded by our pride and our religiosity and think that somehow, if given enough chances and living long enough, that we could somehow work enough good works to deal with our sin problem. But Jesus says, no, you're wrong. I came to bring recovery of sight to the spiritually blind. And then he came to set free the oppressed, which is a broad characterization of people. The oppressed, those who are oppressed by sin, oppressed by life, oppressed by some kind of authority, those who may be abused in some form. It's a broad category. Jesus came to give hope and help to those as well. To all these people, Jesus proclaimed the favorable year of the Lord. That is, he shouted from the rooftops, God's salvation has come. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts. So Mark reveals here that Jesus began his public ministry with singular focus, and that was preaching, and specifically preaching the gospel. And in verses 14 to 20, we see two demands Jesus made to all who would listen to his gospel preaching. Number one, turn to Jesus as your Savior. The first demand that Jesus made in his preaching of the gospel is, turn to Jesus as your Savior. He was proclaiming the gospel of God. He was saying that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. This was the same message John the Baptist preached. Now, last week we learned that Jesus was baptized by John. Why did Jesus need to be baptized, you might ask? Jesus didn't have any sin to repent of. The reason Jesus was baptized is to demonstrate his obedience to God and also to demonstrate his solidarity with the message that John preached. The message John preached was the message God gave to him. The message that Jesus preached is the message God gave to him. And they were consistent. Repent and believe the gospel. That was John's message. That is Jesus' message. So to turn to Jesus as your Savior means you must repent and believe. The word repent means to turn. It's a change of heart and mind that leads to a change of life. It is a 180-degree turn away from a life of sin and self-government to a life of faith, holiness, and surrender to Jesus as Lord. We live in a day and age in which evangelicals have been told for decades that the way to get saved is to come make a decision for Jesus. And hardly ever do you hear the word repent. Ask Jesus into your heart. Accept Jesus as your Savior. And on, the man-made gospel appeals line up in a long list. And yet the message that John preached and the message that Jesus preached was the same, and it was very simple. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent of your sin and your life of self-government, and turn, do an about-face, a 180-degree turn to Jesus. Embrace him as your Savior, the only one who can save you from your sin, from the power of your sin today and the penalty of your sin tomorrow. Believe means to embrace with a heart of faith, to trust. This is the gospel call to each and every one of us as sinners. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Romans, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So here's this heart embracing of Jesus as the only solution to our sin problem. See, none of us can be saved through our good works or religious rites, since the heart from which these works proceed is corrupt, which then taints all of the works that we do. But God in his mercy gives to us a new heart at salvation. He rebirths us in Christ and begins a new work of transforming us into the image of Christ from the inside out. This is a divine work, a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, whereby he uses the gospel to grab hold of our hearts and hold of our minds and turn us to Jesus, to trust in him, to follow him. If you've not turned from your sin and your life of self-government to Jesus as your Savior, I pray that today is the day that you do so. I was 19 years old when God did that merciful work in my life. I had been raised in a religious tradition whereby tradition had a capital T. And tradition with a capital T actually had more authority than the Bible itself. And so I actually didn't even open my Bible until I was 19 years old. And there I saw, as the Holy Spirit opened my eyes through the teaching of Jesus and the Gospel of John, that my heart was far too wayward. My heart was far too gone to simply make a wise decision and come to Jesus. No, I had to be saved from the inside out. I needed God to do a miraculous work in me. And by his grace, he did that. And he caused me to be born again. And my life began to change, and it has never, ever been the same. See, I had been taught that Jesus came to earth and he died on the cross for the sins of the world in order to start the work of salvation. I then, through my religion and my good works and my attempts at morality, would finish the work that he started. The church, of course, would decide whether or not I had done a good enough job finishing it. And so when I opened the Bible and saw that Jesus himself said from the cross, "It is finished," Oh, my eyes were opened, and I realized he didn't come and start salvation for me to finish it. He came and started it, did it all, finished it, was raised from the dead 3 days later to prove that the work was acceptable to God. And then he ascended to heaven, and there he sits at the right hand of Father as my high priest, the one who intercedes for those who believe in his name. That's the gospel. It's not a gospel of Jesus plus your good works. It's a gospel of Jesus plus nothing. Jesus did it all. Is that what you believe this morning? I hope and pray that it is. Perhaps you're thinking, Paul, you don't know me. You don't know my life. You don't know my heart. You don't know my past. You're right, I don't, but Jesus does. And to you, Jesus says, come to me, and I will never cast you out. That's what Jesus said in John 6:37. This is the merciful, gracious Savior, who's also holy God. He knows everything about your life, everything about your heart, everything that you've ever done, and yet he looks to you and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, come to me, and I will never cast you away. That's the kind of Savior Jesus is. He's not the kind of Savior who came for the righteous. He came for sinners, sinners like you and me, who fail to live up to God's righteousness every single day. But we have one who has lived up to God's righteous demands. And now he says, come to me, bring your sin to me, and I will give you my righteousness in its place. What a gift of God's grace. This is the salvation that God has provided in Christ. Turn to Jesus as your Savior.
Thank you for listening. The preaching of Jesus in this passage is simple yet profound. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Turn away from a life of sin and ignorance of God and turn to Christ. Many wise teachers throughout history can make suggestions about how to live. Many people can claim to be the leader worth following, but only Jesus has this kind of authority to command our obedience. In our current series, The Gospel of Mark, we are lifting up the Lord Jesus as the servant he came to be. He demonstrated this throughout his earthly ministry, but ultimately his role as the servant was to carry the cross and suffer the penalty for our sins. When we think about the preaching of Jesus Christ, it fits perfectly into his role as a servant. Jesus serves us by preaching the truth. Next time on Delight in the Word, we conclude this two-part message called Jesus Was a Gospel Preacher. Here's a little of what we'll hear next time.
So let me say to you today, if your heart is overcome with hopelessness or with guilt or with feelings that there is no way that God can ever accept you, please know this, that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came because you and I mess up all the time. Jesus came because we sin against this holy God, and he came to meet the demands of God's law, to mete out the demands of his justice, to take our place on the cross of Calvary. And in Christ, God has done everything needed for you to be reconciled to him. Your response must be one of acknowledging who you are in your sinfulness and your desperate need for the Savior, to turn away from that sin, to be just forever disgusted that you're just not going to go down that road anymore. And the confidence that you have to govern your own life, to be your own master, and to reach out to this Jesus who says, all that the Father gives to me, I will receive. I will never cast them away. This is the merciful Savior. So come to Jesus today. He will give you a new life, a life of freedom and forgiveness and fruitfulness in following Him. Let me say to you, a life of following Jesus with all of your heart is the one life that you will never, ever regret.
If you'd like to listen again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org or where you listen to your podcasts. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. At Cornerstone, our mission is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ. If you live in the Cleveland area and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us here at Cornerstone. May the Lord bless you until next time as we together delight in the Word.